And the psyche is a nerve body. It's a nerve sensitive body, the psyche. It doesn't act physically. It doesn't speak audibly. Nevertheless, it moves things.
Yes, sir.
It moves the person. And through the person, it moves things.
Right.
Yes. The psyche. The part of you that's working without your controls. And what happens? He's talking about the psychology of the individual, but also the psychology of the group, the collective body also. But it starts from understanding of the psychology of the person, the individual. Now, he said the part that went up as the moon lost all of its water to this part. Mm-hmm. So then the moon is a waterless body. If it's waterless, and he's talking about the soul and the psyche of the human person, what it means that it's waterless? It has no feelings. It has no emotionality. Spiritual, but without emotions. Spiritual without emotions, and spiritual without sensitivities. Sensitivity is water. Huh? Sensitivity is water. Sentimental. They say you're sentimental? It comes from tears? Sentimental means you may laugh and cry a lot? Huh? So that's water. This is talking about your inner nature, inside you, not about water you drink out of a faucet. Now this man also said that if you develop and become wiser and wiser, you'll be able to take a glass of water and look in that glass of water and see worlds. Now, no, don't think of a physical glass of water, but if I would give you a quantity of the world's sentiments, and give it to you from history. This was their sentiments in Babylon. This was their sentiments here. Give you a quantity of the world's sentiments. I would be able to show you worlds through their sentiments. Can you see that?
Yes.
You should be able to see that.
Yes.
I could be able to report the sentimental life of the people of the world, and you'll be able to see them clearly, more clearly than you will giving you their politics. Or giving you the walls that they fought.
Yes,
if I could give you their sentiments,
yes,
their sentimental composition,
yes,
if I could give that to you, you would be able to see them clearly, more clearly than you would see them if I taught you about their material history, about their political history, or their walls and whatever.
Yes,
do you understand that?
Yes, sir.
Yes. So you see where he's coming from?
Yes.
The man wasn't lying. The man is telling the truth, but it's in another sphere of reality, not the one you're looking at. And he didn't leave us with just that. He told the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to tell your students, tell the ministers, tell the students, tell them not to just look at what's on the surface. Tell them to study deep. Study deep. And what does Genesis say? Darkness was upon the deep. And the spirit moved on the face of the water. And a voice came saying, let there be light. Huh?
Yes,
same thing. Farrar just restate things. He knows the wisdom. He knows the language. So he restates it. He puts it in his own language. Paraphrase. Restate. Same wisdom. That's why some of you, you've been here since 1930. And you ain't going nowhere. Because you're still looking for that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, and it's in my pocket now.
Yeah.
Yes, it's humorous to be when you look at it a certain way. Yes. Now we get into some more stuff. We got to clear this up.
Yes.
We got to put light where there was darkness.
Yes.
If we're going to be free. The greatest freedom ain't the freedom to walk about through the city, walk from your neighborhood to another neighborhood, or the freedom to get on the plane and go to New York City. That ain't the greatest freedom. The greatest freedom is to travel with your mind power, and thought travels 24 billion miles per second. You can be in another galaxy while that guy trying to get to the corner. All right. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, don't play with this. He said, it's fire. It'll burn you up. Those are his words. Don't play with this. It's fire. It'll burn you up. But if I can educate you in the nature and power of the fire, you will be able to manage the fire. You will be able to cook some beans and roast some lamb, huh? If you want to. But really, all I want to do is shine the light. I got enough fire to roast lamb and beef and all that stuff. And cook some beans and stew and all that. I got enough fire for that. I want to just see the light shine. Now, these are dangerous things he said. He said, a Muslim will kill a devil wherever he find him or see him. Isn't that what he said? Now, do you think he wanted you to go out and do that? No, because he said don't carry even much of a penknife. But what you gonna kill a devil with? If he said don't carry even as much as a penknife, now you could go out there, what you gonna kill him with? So he defended himself. He knew he had defense from the law. If the police went out there and killed a white man, then I'll kill this devil. And you got caught. When the police came for him, he say, did one of the members of our Nation of Islam do that?
Yeah.
Well, we tell them not to even carry so much as a penknife. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was speaking. He said, my Savior told me, said, leave him to me.
Yeah.
I will take care of him. Now he was telling you wisely, don't you think you can get up here now and fight the white man? Don't commit suicide. Honorable Elijah Muhammad was a great little man. I don't think there's been a man more significant on the American soil. I'm including whites and everybody. Not a man more significant on the American soil in the American history than Elijah Muhammad. Yeah. Powerful man. Powerful little man. And he couldn't have done that by himself. He was nothing. He was lost like the rest of us and was down more than most of us. Poor, drinking whiskey. Staying drunk when he could get a little drink. Bowel, he wanted to stay drunk. But he had great potential. And he had to stay drunk because his mind was more alert, more active than the mind of the average black. And he couldn't live with this world the way it was. And he couldn't deal with it, so he wanted to stay drunk. That's how Mr. Farrar found him. My mother told me these things. She said, son, I used to bring him off the streets on my shoulder. She was a little woman, a little frail woman, but strong. That black woman could whip every son she had. I'm telling you, grown and the young ones. She was strong and tough. And she would let you know you're ready for killing. You know? Yeah. You rebel against her and give her some problems, she let you right know right now, you're getting ready for killing. She said, when I get through with you, you'll have another spirit in you. And she wasn't joking. So anyway, she said, I didn't doubt what she said because I knew how strong she was. She said, I used to bring your father in the house on my shoulder. So I'd be dragging him, have him on my shoulder, I'd be dragging, his feet be dragging. See, when I got to get to his bed, see, I would drop him off my shoulder on the bed. She said, that's the man that our Savior made what you see him to be today, son. Now that's a real woman. Letting her son know. You know. So a son would never doubt that really God had come to my father or come to her husband. Yes. Yes. God intervenes. And God works in mysterious ways. Yes. He sends his angels to do his works. Yes. You should believe in these things. They're in scripture. You should believe in them. I do firmly. Yes. So anyway, he said, a Muslim will kill a devil. And then he says to us, your reward for bringing in four heads of devils will be a trip to the holy city of Mecca to see Brother, we used to say, Muhammad. You hear that? A lot of you don't never heard that word before. That's how we pronounced Muhammad back then. To see Brother Muhammad. Yes. Now, what do you mean by that? We talked about dynamite destroying, and we explained it, what it means. Happening in the world of the psyche. What do you mean by take four devils' heads at one time? And tell me, how you gonna take four devils' heads at one time with a sword? You gonna be some martial arts expert. And in fact, technically speaking, you can't take four heads at one time. Impossible. Not at one time, not one person. Maybe if all four of them act in concert and they shoot or cut at the same time, they can take four heads at one time. But how is one individual going to take four devil's heads at one time? You can't do that. But who would question it? Do you know one fool tried to actually carry that out and got him some brothers together following him? And guess what happened? Somebody cut his head off. And this is the actual truth. This really happened. I know him. My brother knew him much, much better more than I. My brother knew him before he joined the Nation of Islam. I knew him too, in fact. But through my brother, because my brother associated with him. Came up in the same neighborhood. Like what you call gangbangers now. Yeah. And he was converted. And he took over the understanding of the lessons. He took it upon himself to act on what Mr. Farrar brought. And he actually led a group of brothers and was telling them that they had to go out and bring four devil heads in, four white people heads. And they found him, his head had been cut, severed completely from his body. And they said one of his own kind, one of his own people, followers did it. Cut his head off from his body. This happened maybe about 20 years ago. Yes. So it's dangerous. You know, you heard of the zebras in California?
Yes, sir.
Who kidnapped the publisher's daughter?
Yes.
Got her to join them. She actually joined them. She believed in what they were doing. She's white, they black. 5 percenters. And they started something very dangerous. They overcome, they got rid of it, or either side of this. Sent it underground, caused them to go underground or something. But certain things were very dangerous. And this taking of four devil heads, or four white people's heads, very dangerous. That language is dangerous. With our people suffering the way they suffer, some of them will act on that. It's a possibility. And the proof that that is a possibility, the brother acted on it. So how do we understand the taking of four devil's heads? We got to go to scripture. This man came from scripture. Four is in scripture from Genesis to Revelation. Four. It's in the Quran. Allah says, and He gives everything its provision, every life its provision, in four measures. In four measures. That's what it's given. That's how it's said, stated. But Ezekiel, when you look at Ezekiel, the story of Ezekiel in Scripture, what is it talking about? Ezekiel's wheel says, tells us, pardon me, the narrator who gives the story of the Ezekiel's wheel, he says that he saw a wheel in a wheel, and he saw it rise up from the earth. This is in the chapter called Ezekiel's, and it's called Ezekiel's wheel. He saw it rise up from the earth. He said, and it rose up with the sound of many waters. Waters! This is psychological. This is psychology. This is psychological, not material. He saw it rise up from the earth, and it had on it four living creatures. What it means, four living creatures? It means human life representing all life on earth. Why is it four? Because in the Bible, the earth is described as a table with four corners. The whole earth is described as a table with four corners, not as a round ball, like we know in science, from science, that is spherical, it's a round ball, but it's described as a table. Now, does that make it wrong now in the Bible that the earth is described as a table, as a table with four corners? No, it's not wrong. You have to understand how to look at it. It's not wrong. It doesn't mean the earth, physical earth, is talking about something else. It's talking about the nature. The mind, the mental nature, the emotional nature, the whole nature of prayer. And the four also is told in elements. This goes way back even before Christianity and religion as we know it now. When man saw the creation, the whole creation, as land, material mass, fire, water, wind. The four major elements. These four major elements. So it represents all matter. The composition and nature are essentials of all matter. You see? But in man's life himself, in his psyche, what it represents. Fire represents passions. Water represents, as I told you, sentiments. Sentiments. Sentimental nature. Sentimental side. And wind represents emotions. Wind, emotions. But there's water in wind, water in air, water in wind, water. So hardly any of these are without water, only land. But the air is always with some water. There's some amount of water in the air all the time. There's a lot to be said about this. I could establish a school on metaphysics and esotericism. And I guarantee you, I'd be a billionaire in about 2 months. I guarantee it. I'd be a billionaire in 2 months. Say, well, why don't you go and do that, buddy man? I can't do that. God will destroy me for doing that. Yes, I have to use it for the purpose, yes, not to make money, and not to satisfy people who are isolated from the real idea and plan. Yes, they're isolated. They're on the sidelines. So anyway, I said fire, wind, yeah, emotion. A bad storm, emotional rage. Mm-hmm. Calm water, peaceful spirit. Because Scripture says the water doesn't disturb itself. It's the wind that disturbs the water. Isn't that true? Yeah. Wind disturbs the water. So when the ship was threatened by the raging seas, what did Jesus Christ say in the Bible? He said, I forget the exact words now, but it's not in the water, not the water, it's the wind. The problem is the wind, not the water. The nature of the water is to settle and be at peace. But the wind disturbs it. Yes. And that is the nature of our soul. See, a peaceful waters mean it's characteristic of the human soul, that your soul wants to be at peace. That's the nature of your soul, to want to be at peace, not disturbed. Yes. So what the other one I mentioned? The earth, the land. The land means your rational mind, your logic, your rational mind. Your rational mind want to follow disciplines of sound thinking and sound reasoning. And your mind is what, your rational mind is what builds a house, give design to something, and follow the logic of that design and complete the design. And the earth, not like water. You look in the water, you don't see design. You see transparency. But when you look in the land, you see trees that come up conforming to a specific design. And other material things, including life, living things, and inanimate things, things without life. They're conforming to a design. And when the mind starts to imagine that way and put its compositions that way together, based upon a design and a logic, then the mind is land, not water. That's why Jesus Christ, he went to the water and he found people devoted to fishing. So he told them, come follow me. I'll make you fishermen of men. Huh? I'll make you fishermen of men. And where did he take them? He took them from the land, or from the water line, or from the water shore, into the land. Meaning that you are going on psychology, feelings, sentiments, emotions. You are baiting their feelings. You are baiting their sentiments. You're baiting their psyche. Let me take you into the land and educate you so you will be able to appeal to their rational minds. And you will be able to bait their rational mind and bring in a more important fish. A fish that lives on land and builds and creates things. You'll make a man of a fish. Transform a fish into a man. Huh? That's what he was saying. That's what he's saying. All right, so now when Mr. Farrar says you have to take four devils' heads, what is he saying? It's the Ezekiel wheel. Four creatures go up into the air and they go a wheel and a wheel. What is a wheel and a wheel? Individual sciences, the science of the individual, inside the science of community life. Huh? And it permits, when you see the science of the individual, and you apply that science to the community life, the body plural, from the body singular to the body plural, you apply the sciences of the individual body, like Osiris, the light lights up the world. You light up the whole community. You give education and enlightenment to the whole community. And rising up doesn't mean rising up really from the physical earth, but rising up from the lower levels of man's mind and man's interest. The higher levels of human mind and human interest. Said it had the power to do what? Wherever the wheel went, the people were affected. If it turned in some way, the people turned also. As the wheel turned, the people turned. The power of community or group psychology. And it says, how many creatures was on that wheel? Four living creatures. Huh? There again, the four. Four living creatures. Okay, so this wicked Shaitan, the Satan, he has this psychology over the heads of the people. And he's able to turn the minds of the world outside of their mental grasp, outside of their physical and mental grasp, hidden from their physical and mental grasp, way above their heads. He's able to turn the minds and hearts of the whole world. And that's exactly what he's able to do. That's exactly what he's doing. He's been doing it for a long, long time. Yes, he's managing the minds and hearts of the people from above their heads. So the four heads of the devil is the four heads of Shaitan, meaning kill his psychology. Destroy his Ezekiel's wheel. It's not Ezekiel's wheel, this is his wheel. And doesn't the scripture say everything that Allah desired for his servant, the devil conspired to have the likes of it? So if there was an Ezekiel wheel to do good, a good psychology, to give health, to infuse health into the minds of the masses of people on earth, then the devil devised the same instrument to use that power of psychology, that tool of psychology, to master the minds of the people of earth for his exploits. And you have heard the truth. You now know what the four heads of the devil is. Allahu Akbar. Yes, we thank Allah. He has truly, generously, and abundantly rewarded us for our patience and steadfastness. Yes. So there are no mysteries anymore. Believe me, there are no mysteries anymore. Allah says in the scripture in the Quran, it's in the Bible too, if you understand it, the heavens shall be rolled up like a scroll. And John the Revelator, he said, and a voice was heard saying, it is done. It's all over. That's now. That's now. It's all over. All over for boogeymen in religion. I'm the Ghostbuster. No more boogeymen in religion. I'm serious. No more boogeymen in religion. We have to take the boogeymen out of the religion so people can be truly free to make their life what they want it to be and make it prosperous under God. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Allah be with you always. Assalamu alaikum.
For more information on the Mosque Cares, call 708-798-6750 or write P.O. Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. To purchase copies of this media and other lectures by Imam W. Dean Mohammed, call 708-862-7733. Or write P.O. Box 1944, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. Or visit us on the web at www.wdmpublications.com. For the Muslim Journal, see your local distributor. Or visit us on the web at www.muslimjournal.com.